So good morning. This is another in the ongoing series. What's a Bodhisattva to do? I was thinking about Earth Day, which was actually a week ago. And, you know, really, what is a Bodhisattva to do? I actually have notes for this. The Bodhisattva is meaning to save all beings. If a Bodhisattva is meaning to be useful, what does a Bodhisattva do to be in harmony with the earth? I mean, in some ideal Bodhisattva world, I guess, maybe you would be like Greta, is it Thunberg or Thunberg, however she pronounces her name, you know, and not fly and only buy used clothes. And I don't know what all her practices are. Or maybe you'd live entirely off the grid, right? No gas, no electricity. You'd eat fruits and nuts and berries, and I don't know. I know where there are wild onions up in the high Sierras. You'd forage, I guess. You'd weave your own fabric. You'd use hemp, I guess. Anyway, that is not us. It's certainly not me. It's certainly not I. My mother is sort of, when I say something like that, it is not me. She's sort of whispering in my ear. What? That's what she used to do at the dinner table. If you said the wrong pronoun, she'd say, what? And then you'd repeat it because they'd think she didn't hear you. And then she'd say, what? And then you'd realize, what did I just say? So that is not I. But, and what do I do? What can I do? What's my, contribution? What's my commitment that I'm actually capable of doing? Not that I have a list, actually, but I'm not perfect. I certainly don't do them all the time. There are practices to be awake, to pay attention, to keep our eyes open, to see when we are kind of going off the path too. And to take responsibility, take ownership. You know, we say that a Bodhisattva could kill somebody if it were to save 500 other people. And a Bodhisattva takes responsibility for having killed somebody. Because there are going to be karmic consequences regardless. Our practice is to know what we're doing as much as possible, and to have the question always, you know, what am I doing? What is this? Is this useful? I think of the questions you ask yourself about in terms of right speech. You know, is the first question is not whether it's true or not. The first question is this beneficial? Is this useful? Is this timely? And is it true? You can ask yourself about any decision you make. So in our day-to-day lives, there are lots of sort of categories, I suppose, of decision making? And how much ownership do we take for those? I must admit, I eat bananas, and I know they're not local or seasonal, but I eat organic fair trade bananas. That's, you know, they're more expensive. And we always, that's a decision to make, always at the supermarket or wherever you shop. You know, do I buy organic or not? And organic is not the only question. You know, is it, what's its carbon footprint, what I'm buying? Are these blueberries from Mexico or Chile or somewhere? Or are they from Northern California or maybe Oregon? You have to set your own limits. Geographical limits, how far away? But my example that I like to use is asparagus. It's now in season, and it's the best from the Delta, and not the little tiny spears like that, you know, ones that are more like that. I held up my thumb. Anyway, not the little pencil-y ones, necessarily. But there's a cafe that I love in Petaluma. It's called the Water Street Bistro. And the woman that owns it and is the chef and is there all the time, Stephanie, you know, she makes wonderful food. And one time I was there and she had asparagus on the menu, and it was, I don't know, September, say. Asparagus is not coming from here in September, unless it's growing in a cold house, because it's a spring vegetable. And I asked her about it. I said, why do you have asparagus in the summertime? And her response was, well, it came from veritable vegetable. The veritable vegetable is a wholesaler, produce wholesaler that carries, I don't know all, but virtually all organic produce. So it was organic asparagus, most likely. To which I say, whoop-de-doo. It's not the only question. So many places nowadays, you know, advertise themselves as local and seasonal and organic and whatever. And then they'll sell crab in the middle of summer and asparagus in the early fall and strawberries year round. So it's a matter of paying attention and making the decisions that make sense for you. Where our practice really comes in is doing it knowingly and making your decisions, accepting responsibility for them. What am I doing to the earth if I buy produce, summer produce from Chile in the fall and winter? What is the carbon footprint if I'm buying citrus from Florida or Texas, rather than California? Do you know what's on the list of what's called the dirty dozen that you really should buy organically, because they'll absorb the pesticides and hold them more than other produce? I'm afraid stone fruits and strawberries and blueberries are on that list. And this makes things more expensive. Though if you buy it in season, it's not so expensive. The blueberries right now are coming from, I don't know where. But they're very expensive right now. And then they're going to get a little cheaper as it gets into the summertime. And canned food or frozen food or whatever, you know, do you read the labels? Do you notice if there's extra sugar in it? And you think about, you know, it might say sugar, but it might say fructose or high fructose corn syrup or honey or anything malted. How's the salt? And where's it from? I like to buy Mexican, like, you know, if I buy a can of black beans or something, I like to buy ones that are from Mexico, if they're, you know, if they're seasoned at all. I suppose I could season it myself and lower the carbon footprint. I could even cook them myself. And we can know about our clothing. Cotton is a great guzzler of water, but on the other hand, it's not a petroleum product. So, linen is probably a cleaner, probably linen is flax. And there's a lot of fabric made out of hemp. And there's clothing now made from recycled plastics. It's complicated. But to be aware of it is our practice. Not that you necessarily do X or Y. You know, you just buy organic cotton. You look for the union label. Good luck with that. What about your shoes? I have a friend who is a very serious, committed vegetarian, and you know, he doesn't buy leather shoes. Or if you do buy meat, what kind of meat are you buying? Do you eat shrimp that's from Thailand? Do you eat, you know, regular pork as opposed to, I don't know, politically correct pork to the extent there is such a thing? And so on with cows and chickens and eggs. My point is to be aware of it, not to say that you should make any particular choice. And I know that also one of the problems in making these decisions is that they're more expensive, which is another climate issue, really. So, you know, you make decisions about transport. Do you stop flying, or do you minimize your flying? Do you take some other form of transportation? I've never really studied it. I don't know if a train is more, does less damage than an airplane or a car. I don't know. The thing with a plane is you got a lot of people on it at the same time, so that makes a difference. What kind of car do you have? You know, I just finally got a hybrid myself, so I'm not one to be pointing fingers. I've had SUVs since 1990 until just a couple of years ago. But to be aware of it, be aware of it. And the decisions you make in your garden. Do you only buy drought tolerant plants? Do you not buy any more plants? That's my rule, but then we already have this garden that's full of stuff. And it's all drought tolerant, whether it was built that way or not, it is. Because it survived. Do you have a lawn? There's, I'm not going to go on and on, but there just, there are lots of decisions to make when you have a garden. You buy organic plant food, for example. Do you use pesticides? Do you use herbicides? Do you have a fireplace? Do you use your fireplace? And I'm sure you can come up with more categories, things to think about. There are a lot. And you may need to choose some. Oh, and I mentioned clothing. I mean, that you can always, you can buy used clothing. Nowadays, you can buy a lot of stuff. But do you? And how long do you wear the clothing you have? My way is to forget that I have something because it gets winds up kind of in the back of the closet. And then every so often I go through it and say, oh, so it's like getting something new. But what's the point of all this? That's the question that we need to have. Why? What am I doing? What is this about? Does it even matter? You know, how much does it matter that I only buy organic strawberries or pesticide-free strawberries? Or that I finally got a hybrid car? Or that I didn't get an electric car? Isn't it more about, you know, big policy changes, like stopping using fossil fuels entirely, or stopping eating so much beef and helping with the methane? I mean, you know, in a policy level. It may be true that my doing some of these things, I don't do all these things that I mentioned, but it's doing some of them. Or all of them, it wouldn't make much difference. Maybe if everybody did it, if everybody did compost or something. But for a bodhisattva, what is the question? Is that the question? You know, if I do, does my giving up X or doing Y save the planet? Is that the question for a bodhisattva? I don't think so. I mean, I think that the question for us is this useful? If I do this or don't do that, is this useful? Is this beneficial? Whether it has virtually no effect or a big effect, is this how I want to live my life? Is this a way of benefiting the earth? And benefiting all beings, including inanimate beings. Is that the question for a bodhisattva? I ask you. So how does this strike you? Are these things that you do think about? Or not. Steve is going to send out, by the way, a list of what's in season for the cooks especially, but all of us can have it in mind because people nowadays don't even know what's in season. Eggplant is a summer vegetable. It isn't really all year round. Where does eggplant come from in December? I never looked, but I don't imagine it's anywhere near here. Might be Mexico. Anyway, how does this strike you? Do any of these things concern you or not? Liam?
Yeah, these are things that I think about a lot. And it was one of many reasons why I wanted to move to Portland, Oregon, because where you live, it makes it easier or harder to do these things. When I lived in Petaluma, well, if you didn't have a car, you couldn't, it was not bicycle friendly, and public transit was horrible. And it is very discouraging that things are not being done on an international level. But it's like you say, it's important to me for how I live that I look at these questions. And there's always room for improvement, but being retired and living in Portland makes some of them easier. And then there's always more to learn about how to do more.
Zach?
Yeah, the more I read about and learn about this, the more complicated it is. And some things seem very easy, like, of course, we need to all drive electric cars, but we don't have a power grid to deal with that. We couldn't do it if we wanted to. And I would just heard that one of the big dams in California that generates power, there's not enough water, so they're not going to generate power this year. So it's complicated, but one thing is for sure, it doesn't matter what the United States does if China and Russia and Europe aren't doing anything, and vice versa, and the whole world has to do it. So on one hand, it's like, yes, do the things you can do, but in the big picture, and I'm talking about like climate change kind of stuff, not eating organic versus not organic. It's going to take way more than individuals. And I'm kind of guessing it'll have to get a lot worse before we finally do something about it, but hopefully not.
But the question for a bodhisattva like Zach,
yes,
what do I do, regardless of whether in the long run it's going to change anything?
Yeah, so I guess there I wonder is, is it better to donate to organizations that are trying to change the way, the big picture, or do little things personally? I think it's maybe both and everything, and do whatever you can, I guess, is the answer. But I definitely get the be mindful of it and think about it, and we all have decisions to make, and hopefully it influences our decisions.
Thank you. I could hear you as you were saying that, you know, da 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 da, or da da da, and you could sort of see, oh wait, oh wait, you don't have to choose, do you? You kind of see it. Or as you know, it's interesting when we talk sometimes, as we say something, we say, oh wait. Because it is oh wait, and the pollution on a world level is terrible. But you know, China is working hard on it, and a lot of people in Europe are working hard on it. And anyway, that's a whole other thing.
Thank you, Mr. Putin.
Yeah. Daniel and then Lisa.
Yeah, thanks, Mary. Well, these things matter a lot to me, and I don't know, you know, I am very mindful of it. And there are so many things that I try to do. We compost, we don't use pesticides. I bike commute while I primarily telework now, which has been nice, but you know, I would, you know, take the commitment to ride my bike 7 miles per way to go into work. And to do that, we have a huge bucket in all of our showers because we capture our water, and it goes on and on and on. And so I try to be mindful, and where I have to be careful sometimes is when I'm overly mindful, because sometimes when I'm bike commuting to work and I see everybody drive by me in their car and I'm like, why am I the only one doing it? Which is, you know, one of those problems that I have. One interesting thing though, that I, that your talk made me think of, I was watching KCRA earlier this week, and it's the asparagus festival going on in San Joaquin County right now. And lo and behold, the story on KCRA was that asparagus is a passing crop in Northern California due to its high intensive cost of production. And so, yeah, I guess there's only 2,000 acres presently under asparagus cultivation right now. I could be wrong.
You mean in here in San Joaquin County or what?
Correct, in San Joaquin County and Northern California in general. And that was the theme of the expose, was should they even continue at the asparagus festival? Well, of course they are.
Well, that's the best asparagus is from the Delta, which is kind of the northern part of San Joaquin. And so yes. it just tastes better. Anyway, thanks. Lisa?
I guess, yeah, I mean, I think about all these things, but I also think you can't do everything. And I think it's important to not get arrogant about it, you know, like, and also to, I think, bringing it back to the question of the Bodhisattva, like realizing how a little thing can actually be a big thing, you know, just like a little thing, like starting to plant native plants, and then the pollinators come, and then the ladybugs come, and then it kind of affects everything. And I'm sort of thinking about native plants right now because in one of my classes, we have to, I mean, it's weird. It's a color class. It's an art class, but we have, because of the way the program is, we have to relate it to some social awareness issue or environmental issue. So I chose that subject, and I took my students, and it's an online class. So the students meet online and they're on Zoom. And I've had really struggled with this class of trying to create a sense of community on Zoom, and all the students keep their cameras off while I'm trying to lecture. It's so difficult. But so we went to this, we'd had a field trip, and we went to this place called the Theodore Payne Foundation in Los Angeles, which is about native, it's a nursery and a native plant kind of haven. And just taking the students there and taking them outside and taking them on a tour, it completely changed the whole dynamic of the class. And they were so excited. I thought they were going to be bored, because everything I've given them, they were like bored, and they were so excited. And then now all of their projects, and they're realizing that it's like plants, it's related to everything. It's related to everything. It's related to my mind, and it's related to this, and it's related to that subject. And it just, so I guess what I'm saying is just like a little thing is related to so many other things. So even if you can't do everything, if you just try and do a little thing, that is kind of like Bodhisattva activity, I think.
Definitely. Of course, everything is Bodhisattva activity. And I was thinking, somebody says, well, that, you know, whether you buy organic doesn't have to do with climate change, but it does have to do with climate change. It's the part of the problem is the inorganic, is the petroleum-based pesticides and herbicides, and they're killing insects, and their runoff into, you know, streams and rivers and lakes in the ocean, and all the plastics, not using plastic bags. I was at the store, this is years ago, and I saw a friend of mine, she was putting her stuff in her grocery bag, in her canvas bag, and she was putting broccoli in there, and I don't know what all, and she didn't, they weren't in plastic bags, and this light bulb went on, and I thought, oh, it doesn't have to be in a plastic bag. I'm gonna take it home and cook it. And I'll wash it off before I use it. And so I don't use them anymore, except for, you know, I don't know, Brussels sprouts or, you know, little things, small things or string beans. So we just keep plugging along, but having these questions is really useful. Yeah, Zach.
Well, in the theme of everything's connected, Daniel, you're amongst all the car drivers. Maybe some people see you riding your bike and go, hey, I could do that. Like you're inspiring people riding your bike to work. Of course, you'll never know, but.
Actually, I've inspired a couple people. So, yeah, it happens every now and then.
Yeah.
And there are lots, but you don't see them.
Yeah, in all fairness, in Davison and Sacramento, people make their fair share effort to bike commute.
Well, and that feeling that you have is not, you said something about, well, this is my problem. Well, yes, and it's everybody's problem. You know, Lisa said, not being arrogant. And I would say yes, and, you know, don't be self-righteous. And it's so easy to be self-righteous or to feel put upon. And I, years ago, was telling Norman about, there were some people at Tassajara that were extremely squeaky wheels. And they got a lot of attention because they were difficult. They had a hard time. And I was complaining to Norman. I remember walking by the Zendo for whatever reason. I was just saying, yeah, well, sometimes I like to be a squeaky wheel because I just feel like I never get any attention. People just expect me to do X or Y. And Norman looked at me and he said, what kind of a person would you like to be? Oh, well, because these were the two in particular that were very unhappy people. Oh, well, I think of that every so often now, you know, when I get into this. Well, what about me? You know, how come I can't just go to the store and buy those frozen shrimp that are much cheaper and whatever and come from Southeast Asia? Because I know about slave labor. Anyhow. Well, I think that's enough. Thank you. I appreciate it. I just thought it seemed like a useful discussion for a belated Earth Day. It was a week ago, but for us, it's just to keep reminding ourselves to pay attention and to live consciously.
Beings are numberless, about to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is accessible. I vow to become it. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter.